Jed. Good morning, good morning. Pastor Tim is off this weekend, and he has asked me to begin our new series called Unexpected, which we're going to talk about in just a moment. But before we do that, everybody have a good Thanksgiving? Yeah? Good Thanksgiving. Listen to all, get all the family together, listen to all those same old stories again, all that good stuff that happened around the table. You know, once a year, well, we don't always do this every year, but I just want to take a few moments this morning and express our Thanksgiving and have a time where we can actually sort of share together so I can hear some of your things that you're thankful for and you can hear some of the things that perhaps I'm thankful for. One of the great things about the church is that we're a family. And the people that are sitting here, you may not know them. Everyone in the room, there's certainly the chances of you knowing everyone is pretty slim, but we're all connected because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, and because of that, we are called family. We're called a body of Christ, and when you cry, I should cry, and when you rejoice, I should rejoice, and so before we sort of leave this season of Thanksgiving, right, because I know mentally everyone's already left, right, mentally we already did Black Friday, or whatever, Black Thursday, or whatever it is now, right? Or you know, Cyber Monday, you're already sort of out there ready to go with the next season. I just want to take a second and hear from some of you. And we've got a couple of mics. Chad's got one, and looks like Chase has one. And we just want to hear a little something you're thankful for in this season. And so I'm going to have a couple of you share. We'll just maybe do 5 or 10 minutes, so not very many of you. And we need to share something short. Right? Just remember, I'm going to give the message today, and I really want to share it. So as much as I like you, I don't want to listen to you for very long. So let's just kind of keep it on the short side. We'll kind of, Chad will take care of this side. Chase will take care of this side. Just kind of raise your hand, and we'll kind of go back and forth. And as they're finding the first one, just kind of raise your hand, get their eye, and we'll see if we can get them lined up. I just want to say that I'm so thankful for this church. I mean, there's many things I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for my family. Here today, and thankful for just all the things that God has given me. But I was reflecting on this, and I'm just so grateful for Koinonia. This has been my church family for most of my life. While I was here, you know, from basically 5 years old to now, we've been in other places over the years. This church actually sent us out as missionaries for a couple of years. But I'm just so thankful for the way that God has expressed his love for me and my family through you, and how faithful this church is in giving and believing God and believing beyond for the things that he can do. And I've seen so many things expressed through Jesus, through you, and I'm just so very, very grateful for Koinonia and for you today. So let's hear from some of you. And I know that wasn't short. My wife told me to be short this time, so Jackie.
My name's Jackie Young, and I just wanted to say that I'm thankful for my sister. Couple weeks, or beginning of the month, Pastor Tim had a service about family members being lost and that they'd be home. My sister's coming home.
Okay, my name's Miranda. I'm also thankful for my sister just because she's awesome. This year, even I guess just the half this year, has been completely life-changing to me. Jesus came into my life, and I am so thankful for that. I'm also thankful for the church. I'm thankful for all of you guys and making me feel welcome.
My name is Linda, and I'm thankful for God for my 12-year-old grandson. They live in Kentucky. My grandson has been in foster care since January. My son and daughter-in-law finally got back into church, got saved, and my grandson is coming home for good next month. Praise God.
Chase, you got anybody over here? No? Nobody? You guys?
I thank God on September the 24th, my husband fell in a hotel and ruptured his spleen. And I thank God for Koinonia because I called all distraught, and Koinonia prayed. And because he was on blood thinners, they couldn't do the surgery, but that's what they helicoptered him off to do. But it stopped on its own. And I really give God all the glory and my Koinonia family for really praying. And I tell you, if you have a problem, call the prayer warriors at Koinonia, and they will get through.
Chad, find somebody. in the back half there. I mean, let's find somebody in the back half. Up here, Chase, you got somebody, Rob?
Yeah. Some might remember my story. Koinonia, like, led to my job. And I heard someone speak up here 7-8 months ago, and it changed my life. And now we're here. My wife is here. My whole family is here. So I thank you for the prayer that led me for God's path for me.
My name is Judy Rigg, and we returned to this area 3 weeks ago, and I'm thankful that we found a church that we really love.
One or two more.
A clean heart and a right spirit. Faithful and a servant to the living God. He changed, gave me nearly 80 years in March. Just pray March 23rd to be here. I won't ask you again. But I'm Lewis Cooper, and I love all of you people. And I'm believing that all of you are going to love him. If you don't love him today, you're going to love him tomorrow or the next day. Amen.
I'm thankful for God's faithfulness. I'm grateful for what someone else shared, that we accept everyone because we're all sinners saved by grace. And I'm grateful that I have my daughter back and she's come back to the Lord.
Woohoo!
All right, that's it. I'll meet you. Why don't you stand up, please?
Thank you. Hi, my name is Michi. Oh, this is loud. I'll be concise. I am very thankful for Koinonia. This was my home church where I got saved 16 years ago. And they sent me out in 99 to go to Bible college. And I am just so blessed by this body. They saw within me what God saw. I didn't see myself. But because of the fellowship and the love and the faithfulness of this body, I am now preaching the gospel where God has sent me.
Well, let's cut it off right there because that was so good. And Tim is standing up. Oh no, hold on, Tim. We'll give you a mic. All right, we'll let him talk.
I want to thank the Presbyterian Church and all the churches here as a child because it's what they planted in me 30 or 40 years ago that when I became an idiot as a young man that brought me back. It's what they planted. It's what we're planting over here. Because you know we're going to slip and fall back, and the young kids are. But it's what they're learning now as a young kid that's going to save them as an adult.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Thank you for sharing those things. Why don't you just go ahead and take the hand of the person next to you, and let's just kind of leave this season of Thanksgiving by just one more time pausing, as many of you I know did over this season in your houses. But let's just do that together as a family, sort of connected with our hands and bow before the Lord. Lord, we just are so appreciative. Thank you so much for all the good things that you have done in our lives. And Lord, we know that life is full of challenges. We know that there are difficulties and there are things that just we don't expect to happen, and yet you promise to be with us through all of those things. And what's more, you give us more, Lord, than we ever could ask or imagine. Your blessings are beyond, God, what we ask or think, what we deserve. And so we thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and for your grace. Thank you for your sacrifice and for the salvation that we have in you. Thanks for this church family, Lord, and for what you're going to do. And we pray, God, that we would live every day with thanksgiving in our hearts, not forgetting that everything comes from you that is good. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. We're going to go into a series called Unexpected this morning. And for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about this theme called Unexpected. And we're going to talk about unexpected gift, unexpected generosity, and unexpected grace. And these things are things really that should characterize our lives. They certainly are what characterize the very message of Christmas and the very message of Jesus himself. And so we're going to begin to explore this theme of unexpected. And this morning, I've invited TJ Tamayo to come up. TJ is our pastor of our junior high department, Impact 678, the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And he is an awesome, awesome pastor. And we love to have him on staff because he's cool. And it's important to have somebody cool on your staff when your lead pastor is Pastor Tim. No, just kidding. When, for the rest of us, it sort of balances it out a little bit. And so, TJ, we've been talking for a little while, and he has an announcement to make this morning, and it kind of is unexpected. It might be unexpected for many of us, and yet we know that God uses unexpected things, and he works in the midst of that. We've all had unexpected things happen in our lives. It didn't show up the way we thought it was going to. How could God be in this? And then he has this amazing way of working things together. And so TJ recently has told us that he is going to be making a transition out of his position here on our staff and going actually as a missionary and into ministry in another location opportunity that has come up for him. Now, that's not happening tomorrow or next week. It's actually happening 6 months from now. But because of the preparations that are needed to happen, we wanted to begin to talk about that now. And then, of course, as we get closer to that point, we'll actually have a time of transition and prayer. But TJ, tell us a little bit about what's happening and this opportunity that's coming up for you and your wife.
Yeah, so about a year and a half ago, my wife and I started praying. God was just really tugging on our hearts about entering skate ministry, which is bringing the gospel towards the culture of skateboarding. Some of you guys might know, but there's a lot of spiritual darkness in that area. And about 8 months ago, we got offered a position, which we passed up because we just knew God was talking to us, but it wasn't that position. So about 2 months after that, an organization by the name of YWAM, which hosts Calling All Skaters, which is a skate ministry under YWAM, kind of contacted us and asked us if we wanted to oversee some ministries that they're planting in Barcelona, in China, but to be based in Los Angeles, so kind of doing a little bit of travel between those countries, and also to work with their leader development, teaching in their disciple training schools, and also they have connections with about 100 different skate ministries, 80 in the States and about 20 overseas, and what we're going to be doing is writing curriculum and getting it translated into that language so that they can use that tool to minister to the skateboarders that they're reaching. And so it's a super cool opportunity. We believe that God is bringing this to us, that he's been preparing us for it. It's bittersweet because we love Koinonia, we love the church. But yeah, we just wanted to keep you updated on what's going on with us and the doors that God is opening up for us.
And so we're expecting that to happen April of next year is kind of when you guys officially go out, and then and you'll have a time of training, and then you'll go overseas, and then ultimately you'll be based in Los Angeles.
Yep.
And TJ is in fact a slacker skater,
yep.
Right? Or maybe he's not a slacker, but he's a skater. And that sort of contributes probably to his coolness factor a little bit. I certainly within the junior high department, I mean, this guy is like gold. I mean, two of my kids are in the junior high department, and they just are fascinated with TJ constantly. But this area of skate ministry is not something that's new to him. He's actually been engaged in it for a number of years. He has his own skate ministry called Switch Stance, which one of the ways that that's expressed is through an Instagram feed. If you don't know what Instagram is, ask somebody that's under 35, and they'll tell you. So this Switch Stance feed is he basically posts pretty cool pictures of yourself and some of your ministry partners skating, and then combine it with a Bible verse and an encouragement to those that are in that community. And you've had people that have reached out to you sort of from all over the world. Why don't you tell us one of those stories?
There was a guy who was in Florida. He was a Christian. He was struggling with his faith. He was struggling with depression. He had suicidal thoughts. He ended up sending me a message on Instagram. We exchanged phone numbers. I called him, started sharing just the hope of Jesus with him. He recommitted his life to Jesus, and now he's getting plugged back into his home church in Florida. And so there's been several instances like that with just, you know, it's like when you step out, God steps up. You know, and it doesn't matter if it's a social media page or you know, bringing the gospel to one of your coworkers. Like when you engage in that conversation, like God steps up. So.
And so this is an area of ministry that he's already been engaged in. We believe this is sort of the next step that God is taking him in. But one of the reasons we're announcing that now versus waiting a couple of months from now is because this is something that he's going to have to begin to raise support for. And as a church, we're planning on supporting he and his wife as they begin to launch into this ministry. We're going to make a commitment to them at least for the first couple of years of saying, hey, we believe in you guys. We love you. We always believe that Koinonia has been and is going to be a sending church. So many people have gone out from here to other places in ministry and just carried the message, and TJ and Katrina and their family will be one of those certainly. But our support as a church will not be enough in and of itself in terms of meeting their needs. And so this next period of 6 months, he's going to be fundraising and beginning to communicate that and catching and getting people who would catch the vision and be on his team. And so if you're interested in being a part of TJ's team and saying, not only will we support you with prayers, but really I believe in you and your wife and your ministry and we'll support you monthly, please talk to him. And we want to encourage him to begin to talk to you guys. And we know that God's going to do some awesome things through you guys. And we'll certainly be talking more about that and what will happen in the junior high. But we love you guys very much. I know you want to say something to the parents now who are a little concerned about their junior hires. Like my wife, who is not, she corrected me. She's not mad that you're leaving because you're so cool and our kids love you so much. She's sad that you're leaving.
Sorry, Carrie. Hey, you know, we're still here till April, which means like we're committed, we're invested, you know, we're not looking ahead. We're focusing on the job that God has given us here at Koinonia, which means we're still doing game nights, we're still doing small groups, we're still doing, you know, Sunday morning, we've got camp coming up, Party for Life, we're still doing outreaches. And so, you know, while I'm here, like that's the focus. And so, you know, if any of you parents want to have a conversation with me, but we can talk further into that and what that looks like. But we're still raising up leaders. We got people wanting to serve on Sundays and Wednesdays still, and we're still bringing kids to Jesus. So, yeah, that's what we are, and that's what we're doing.
That's awesome. Thank you, TJ. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, guys.
And if you're a parent of a junior higher, 6th, 7th, or 8th grader, and they're not involved or engaged with Impact 6, 7, 8, you want to get them plugged in because they have some awesome things happening. And they are teaching those kids to love Jesus and getting them close to him. And so you just definitely want to take advantage and plug into that. But, you know, that's an unexpected, in many ways, a kind of, yes, we expect it because we know God is in the business of moving people and expanding ministry and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes those things are unexpected. They hit us like, oh, man, like I thought TJ would be here forever and he will be my cool factor and I wouldn't have to worry about it for, you know, for the next decade. And lo and behold, I got to find somebody else that's cooler than me to bring the cool factor to the staff. It's unexpected, but that's the way God works. He works in unexpected ways. Have you ever had something happen that just wasn't exactly your plan, right? And it sort of messed up your life. And maybe it was a sickness in your family, or maybe it was a job loss, or maybe it was some kind of relationship blow up that happened. And gosh, it was kind of hit you completely out of the blue. And you said, man, I don't want anything to do with this. How can God work in this? I don't even understand. And then you discover that he has a way of showing up in unexpected situations and in unexpected places. And when we least expect him to show up, actually, is when he most likes to work. And that's really what our series is about for just the next couple of weeks, and talking about Christmas and talking about this season that so many times we forget. We get stuck up in the traditions and our expectations of what Christmas is going to look like. And those things are very good. I mean, there's so many wonderful things that happen at Christmas. But sometimes the traditions that we have as human beings, they begin to cloud our understanding of the way that God works. And we sort of have it a plan, and we have it in line, and we sort of know what's going to happen, and we think it's going to happen this way. But really, we forget that the message of Jesus, the Messiah that came, the Christ child that came at Christmas, he came in a way that completely, really surprised almost everyone. And it was in an unexpected place, there in the middle of the desert in Bethlehem. You see, we kind of have this Bethlehem scene up here for a Christmas production that's happening in a couple of weeks with our kids. And here, the Christ child is sent in the middle of the desert to this little town called Bethlehem that nobody expected anything to happen in. It wasn't a politically important city. There was no power there. There was no money there. There was sort of really nothing there. They called it the House of Bread because bread, what is cheap? There's nothing, doesn't take anything to make bread. There's nothing special about bread. And yet, this is the place that God selected to send his son to. And he was born in this little town in the middle of nowhere, kind of like Hanford and Lemoore and Kings County, in the middle of nowhere, but that's the place that God works. He works in unexpected places, in unexpected ways. The whole story of Jesus, his whole life, he did things in exactly the opposite way of the way that you would have anticipated, the way, like if you had a leadership plan, like if you were thinking, okay, I've got to get a message out to the world, and I've got to make sure everybody understands, and it's got to be clear, and you know, I'm going to follow this 10-step strategy of how it's going to be on Twitter, and we're going to get on Fox News, and we're going to get all this, and you would have a plan together. And what God did with Jesus and with Christmas is exactly the opposite of the way that we would ever think, naturally speaking, that it should happen, right? Like he picked people. Just think about this. Jesus, the people that he picked, his posse, right, his crew, right, his bays, those people that he picked to hang out with, there's like three people that got that, but that's okay. The people that he picked to hang out with were fishermen, were political zealots, were tax collectors, were people that nobody would ever believe in a million years. Think about fishermen. Yeah, it was this big, right? I mean, there's just nothing about the story that seems to make sense in terms of natural thinking, right? And yet, here's Jesus. He's selecting the crew. He's telling a message of death. The way to lead is to serve. The way to be stronger is to become weaker, right? The way that you can overcome is to first die. I mean, all of that is just completely unexpected in the way that we would think about it. Look in your bulletin here. It's not really an outline this morning. We had a short week this week, and I didn't have my message in time. I finally got it last night. Just kidding. And look at that second verse there, 1 Corinthians 1:18. And this is what the scriptures say, what Paul says about this message of the gospel, this message of Christmas, this message of Christ. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. Now listen, all of this thing that God had planned in his mind, he had planned it out, he worked it out, everything else, but in terms of the way the world sees it, in terms of our natural mind, when we look with natural eyes, it doesn't make sense. It seems foolish. Why would you send a Christ child who's the Savior of the world in the middle of the night and announce him with a couple of shepherds on the hillside? Sure, we'll show up with a myriad, thousands of angels in the sky, and nobody saw it, right? I mean, where's the news coverage? Where's the cameras? Where's everything? There's nothing. It's like it's in secret. And everything that happens in terms of this message is almost like under the radar and against what the world would do. It's foolishness. But that's the way that God likes to work. He likes to work in unexpected ways and unexpected places, using people that just seem like normal everyday people, the fishermen and the tax collectors and sort of just the regular people in the world, just like you and me, and those are the people that he selects. I mean, think about it. Here's Jesus, and he comes, and he's going to give his life, and he dies, and after he dies and resurrects, there's the great miracle of all time, the resurrection of Jesus. There's 120 people left behind to carry the message, and they're hiding upstairs, right? Because there's like no one wants to believe them. And this is the way that God does things. And this is what he wants to do in your life and what he wants to do in your family. This is what he wants to do this season in you, that he would actually do something unexpected in your situation, right? In the brokenness and the mess and the reality of whatever it is that's going on inside of you or in your finances or in your family. He wants to step in. But oftentimes we are so blinded, right, by the routine, and we're blind that we forget to expect, right, if you'll forgive me, expect the unexpected, right? We forget that we have to actually believe that God is at work, even in our circumstances that are messed up and broken. That's where the miraculous happens. Now I want to look for a few minutes with you at a story of a man who received an unexpected gift. And we're going to talk about this, the idea of gift today. And this is found in Luke chapter 19. And you can turn there in your Bible if you brought your Bible this morning, or you can follow along on the screens as well, as the verses will be up there. But this is a story about a man who we will call Zach, a man named Zach, who, and if you're taking notes, and I know for some of you, because there's no fill in the blanks, you're kind of panicked, and so I'm just going to give you something to write down right here, okay? So this is a story in Luke 19 about a man who, number one, who received an unexpected gift. Who received an unexpected gift. Number two, he responded in a way that no one expected. So he received, and then he responded, the number three, that we should repeat, or we should seek to follow his example. You know, for those of you like ours, received, responded, repeat, that's the last of the rhyming of the day, okay? In Luke chapter 19, we have the story of a man named Zacchaeus. Some of you remember the child song, you know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree to see what he could see, right? And it's the story we see in Luke chapter 19 of a man who really had no reason to expect that Jesus would pay any attention to him, and yet he does. And he has an encounter of a gift, of a meeting with Christ that changes his life. It changes his destiny. And his response, I think, also is unexpected. His meeting is unexpected, and then his response is unexpected. So I just kind of want to walk through with you for the next few minutes through this story, because I think that as we look at Zach's story, we really should see ourselves and see that his response to Jesus and his movement towards Jesus should be ours as well in this Christmas season. And we're going to see God move in our hearts and our lives in unexpected ways. So look with me, Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Now, very first thing that we can see there, and if you've got your Bible, you can underline Jericho and you can mark it up. That's okay. You know, it's okay to write in your Bible. That's all right. But the very first thing that we notice here is that Jesus is coming through this city called Jericho. Now, what is Jericho? Jericho is a town that has been around for many thousands of years, and we know it's significant because when we look at the Old Testament, it's a really important city when the Israelites are moving into the Promised Land. It is the first city that they encounter that they actually have to conquer before they move into this place that God says, this is your land, it's your inheritance, it's what I want to give you, people of Israel, I'm going to bless you, but first you have to conquer Jericho. And so they come to Jericho, and God decides, he tells them, the way that you're going to defeat Jericho is not the way that you think you're going to defeat Jericho. I'm going to give you something out of the ordinary, unexpected. And he tells them, over 7 days, march around the city 7 times, and you march and march, and you blow the trumpets, and then the walls are going to fall down. Well, lo and behold, the walls fall down, and something new begins. That is, the new inheritance that God has for the people of Israel begins there in Jericho. It begins in an unexpected way, but it begins. And so here Jesus comes through a city, and it's a city of new beginnings. It's a city that maybe you are in right now, where you're going, man, I don't know if God's going to show up or not. I'm in a broken situation, but I need a new beginning. I need a fresh start. I need God to show up on the scene. This is where Jesus is arriving. And he's not only arriving there in Jericho that day, but I think that if you have a Jericho today, he wants to come and visit your city as well. Now, he says he's passing through. And I think the great news is that Jesus, he visits us. And he's going to give us opportunities to meet with him. And that he is passing through, I think, sort of in a continual way, that he is coming and he is visiting us and he's giving us opportunities. And you might be here this morning and you may feel like, man, I have missed some opportunities, right? I can look back in my past and I've messed up, or I stumbled, or I walked away, or I didn't see that thing, or I said no to Jesus, or whatever it is in the past. And I just want to tell you good news, Jesus is going to pass through again. Right? Because he is in the business of visiting with you and with me. And he's in the business of doing business with us. And so today, if you're here and you're hungry and you're in a situation, not hungry like hungry, but you're hungry for him spiritually and you want him, and you're thinking, man, I'm in a mess, and I don't know how to fix it, and I feel dead inside, and something's gone, man, I'm messed up again. Whatever it is, good news, Jesus is coming through. And he's here this morning, and he's here, and if you want, you can meet with him, because he gives that opportunity to all those that seek him. Now let's look at verse 2. A man was there by the name of Zac. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Now, the interesting thing about Zacchaeus is that he is a guy that on the outside, he sort of has it all together, right? It says he's a chief tax collector and he's wealthy. So he's got all the money that he needs. He's kind of sort of got all the materialistic things taken care of. And he has a position within society where he's the tax man, which I'm sure is sort of a double-edged sword, right? Because who likes the tax man? Nobody really likes the tax man. And yet in this culture, in this society, the tax man was somebody that had a position of authority and could walk in and make you shake your boots. Kind of sounds like the tax man today, right? Make you nervous, right, when they come around. And so it's a position of authority, and he has money, he has wealth, and so he looks good on the outside, and everything sort of on the outside about him seems to be like it's okay. And yet it's not okay, right? He looks okay on the outside, but there is something wrong on the inside. Something is going on, something is missing on the outside. And sometimes we get in the business in our world of managing our outside, right? Of managing the way that we look, or of being about the stuff and making sure that we've got what we need to be okay financially, or we've got the letters I have to follow our name because we've got the degrees, or whatever it might be. We've got the status because we've got the job, or we've got the title, or whatever. But the reality is, at some point we have to come to just the realization that now something is missing. Like, that's not enough. And this is the place that Zac was at. It might be the place that you're at today where you just go, yeah, all this is good, but something is still missing, right? Like, I don't want to miss what's happening here, but gosh, it just feels like there's something else that I'm not getting plugged into. So this is the place that Zac is at. Verse 3. He wants to see, or he wanted to see, who Jesus was. He was hungry. Because he was dissatisfied, because things weren't all as good as maybe he looked like they were, there was something inside of him that was crying out, that a need that needed to be met. And he had heard about this man named Jesus. He had heard about this teacher that was traveling around and that was healing people. And when he spoke, wisdom came out of his mouth. And it seemed like he was just beyond this world in so many ways. And so he said, man, I want to see this Jesus. I'm attracted to him. There's something that draws me to him. And the question I have for us this morning, question I have for myself as well as you this morning is are you hungry for Jesus? Do you want to see Jesus? What is your level of hunger this morning? Are you desiring him? Are you wanting him? Is there something missing in your life that you know cannot be satisfied? It reminds me of what Jesus himself said in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. That's the great thing about hunger. When we hunger spiritually and we seek for Jesus, the promise is that we are going to be met. And if you look at the story within the scripture, there's story after story after story of those who are hungry and those who are passionate and those who are missing something, and they push into Jesus. He meets them every time. You think about the story of blind Bartimaeus. He's the guy that's blind by the side of the road, and he hears that Jesus is coming, and there's always a crowd around Jesus. And so here comes the crowd, and he knows Jesus is there, but he can't see him because he's blind, and he doesn't know exactly where he's at, but he kind of knows he's there. And so he just starts to yell, and he says, Jesus, would you have mercy on me? And he's so hungry inside. He's just so desiring to get beyond where he's at right there that he says, man, I'm not going to let my embarrassment, I'm not going to let me maybe looking foolish, I'm not going to let any of that keep me from yelling out to the one who could fix me. And so he lets his hunger drive him, and he says, Jesus, have mercy on me. Or the woman with the issue of blood, the woman who was sick for 12 years, and we know that she had been to all the doctors, and they couldn't solve the problem, and they didn't know how to do it, and she was so frustrated, and it had been time after time after time that she had tried to fix it and tried to find the solution, and she was desperate, and she was hungry, and she heard about Jesus, and she said, man, there's somebody that I got to get close to, and of course, here's Jesus surrounded by a crowd one more time, and she says, I'm not going to let the crowd keep me from getting close. And she pushes in and she touches the hem of his garment and she receives healing that day. Why? Because she's hungry. She's desperate. She says, there's something that I gotta have that I don't have right now. A question that I have for you is, are you hungry this morning? What is it that you need this morning? Do you need just to be closer to him? Sometimes we just need to be hungry. Right? Sometimes we're spiritually complacent. We've just sat back for too long and we've just kind of put up with what we've got and we look at our life and our situation. We think, I guess just que sera, sera. That's just the way it's going to be. I'm not just going to put up with it. And we stop being hungry and we've got to begin to be hungry again and say, God, would you give us hunger for Jesus that I would come run after him, that I got to be passionate for him. Now Zach, it doesn't just stay there like he's hungry, like, man, I'm curious that to see this Jesus, to see this teacher. Wouldn't it be nice to see him? But he takes his hunger and he actually allows it to drive him to action. Look there at the second half of verse 3. It says, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. I won't touch that one. It's more like, short man syndrome or something. I'm not sure what's going on there, but so he ran ahead and climbed a tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. So he said, okay, I got to see Jesus. I'm hungry. I'm passionate. Something's got to happen. And so he says, all right, I'm going to run out. I'm going to run ahead of the crowd because I can see the crowd is going to be there. I'm not going to be able to see him. And he does something which is kind of seems foolish, right? Can you imagine an old guy, right? I won't have you raise your hand, old guys. When's the last time you climbed a tree? But he climbs a tree just so that he can get a look at Jesus, because otherwise he's not going to get to see him. And so he allows his hunger to drive him into action, to do something that is not normal. It's not in his comfort zone. It's not in his normal thing that he does every day. And he climbs a tree. Let me ask you, when's the last time you climbed a tree? When's the last time that you got out of your comfort zone? When's the last time that you stretched yourself a little bit beyond where you're at right now? Because you're so hungry, you're so passionate, you're saying, I can't handle this anymore. I can't stay here in this place anymore. I can't just be okay with this situation anymore. I got to have God show up in my family. I got to have God show up in my life. I got to have something change in my situation. So I'm actually going to go beyond what I'm used to and what I'm comfortable with. I'm going to risk maybe a little bit of making the fool out of myself, right? I mean, because if you're Zach, I would think, some people are going to look up at me and, well, what's that guy doing up in the tree? Isn't he a tax collector? That's not the right place for him. And he risks all of that, and he says, no, I'm not going to allow that to keep me from Jesus. I'm going to push beyond that. I'm going to go beyond my level of comfort. Some of us just need to press in a little bit more. You need to get a plan. You say, I'm going to run ahead. I don't know. I mean, I don't know where you're at in terms of your relationship with Christ. But if you're hungry today, you need to allow that hunger to drive you into action. You need to get a plan. You need to move beyond just, oh, Lord, would you do something? And you say, no, God, I'm going to meet with you. Like, I'm going to get serious about this. Like, I'm going to stretch out a little bit further. You need to get, a little bit farther beyond, oh, I wish that God would move in my family, and begin to pray and begin to seek and begin to press. Oh, I wish it would be nice if I knew more of the scripture. No, let's begin to read and let's begin to run ahead. Let's climb the tree. I wish I could connect with God more. But then when Rachel says, now we're going to sing out to the Lord, you go, huh? No thanks. Makes me uncomfortable. Right? I mean, it's just a simple little example, but you have to be willing to actually press in a little bit. And stretch yourself a little bit beyond what your comfort level with. You got family members that need to know Christ. You might actually have to talk to them, right? You might actually have to say something about Christ to them, right? You might actually have to stretch yourself a little bit. See, but the great news is when we stretch ourselves to meet with Jesus, what happens? Look at the story here. And I love the image because I can imagine here Zacchaeus, he knew which way Jesus was coming. It's probably the main road through the town. And you can see the crowd, probably the dust coming up from the dirt streets as they move down the main street. And he's positioned himself in this tree, so he knows he's going to get a good look. And here comes the crowd, and they're coming by, and they're right underneath the tree. And then look here in verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Gosh, can you imagine to have Jesus just in the middle of the crowd look up at you and pick you out and say, "No, no, there's something special about you. Like you're in a tree to meet with me. Why don't you come down? I'm going to have a meal with you." There is no way in the world that Zac would ever anticipate or expect that Jesus not only would notice him, but actually decide to have a meal with him. Like, that is unthinkable for a teacher to go and have lunch with a sinner, a tax collector, which, because we got this whole political, spiritual thing going on with the Jews and all that. And I mean, just, it's unthinkable that he would do this. And yet Jesus, he comes by and he sees Zac and he says, "You're the one that I want to meet with today." Why? Why? I mean, he's surrounded by crowds. There's people everywhere. They're pushing in to touch him. They want to get something from him. They're listening to him. They're fascinated by him. And yet something about Zac attracts his attention. You know what I think it is? It's that he was hungry and he was willing to go the extra step to get close to Jesus. And those people that do that are filled every time. That's what we see in Scripture. Every time someone takes a step towards him, he takes a step towards us. Every time. Jesus himself said, "Man, if you ask me for bread, I will not give you a stone." It says in James, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." This is the principle in Scripture. If you want Jesus, get close to Jesus. Because he's going to get close to you. And he's going to look up at you and he's going to say, "Man, I'm going to have lunch with you." All these other people are observing. There's always a crowd. You notice whenever Jesus goes, all the stories I've sort of mentioned today, there's always a crowd around Jesus. There's always a lot of observation, a lot of people that are in the way, a lot of people that are surrounding him. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of the culture that we have today, of this popularity culture where we're always looking at the stars and, you know, all the actors and everything, and we're all invested in looking at the pictures and reading the stories of their lives and are fascinated, and they're always surrounded by the paparazzi, by the crowd. And it's just this consumer culture that we have of trying to observe, and we love to observe. I mean, think of all the reality TV shows where we're watching these people. It's like, "Wow, what in the world is up with those people? Why in the world am I watching this? I don't know, but it's fascinating." Why? Because we're in this observation mode. There's always a crowd around Jesus of people, and this crowd will keep you from getting close to him if you allow it. There's always reasons why you can't get close to him. There's always a mess, right, around you that, you know, that like blind Bartimaeus sitting there by the road. He's blind. "Oh, there's no way that Jesus is going to see me." And yet he says, no, I'm not going to let the crowd define for me what I receive today. I'm not going to let other people define for me what my experience of Jesus is like. And some of us in our lives, we allow the crowd. Sometimes it's a relationship, sometimes it's people, sometimes it's stuff, it's things that we've allowed to get in the way, and we allow it to keep us away from Christ because it's too much effort, it's too much energy, it's just, I don't know, it's just not comfortable. And yet those who say, no, I'm not going to let the crowd define for me what my experience of Christ is. I'm going to actually go beyond. I'm going to climb the tree. I'm going to get uncomfortable. I'm going to push into him. Those are the people that meet with Jesus each and every time. Now look how Zac responds here as we come to the end of this section of the story. In verse 6, it says, "So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, 'He has gone to be the guest of a sinner.'" Just as an aside, this is what happens whenever people reach out to people that are different, Here Jesus is reaching out to Zacchaeus, who is a tax collector. He's an undesirable. You fill in the blank with the person that you think you want to label in a way that you're not comfortable with being around. Jesus never, ever had had a problem reaching out to them. And yet every time the people that were watching him always said, "Oh, what's he doing over there with that person?" People always will judge you, and they'll judge God's work when it starts to make them feel uncomfortable. But our calling is to reach out to people that don't have it all together, that don't look exactly right, that aren't doing it all right. It's okay. Don't, as a family member and as a community member, don't be afraid of reaching out to people, right? Now, there will be others that judge you for that, right? Well, wait a second, what are you doing? How could you hang out with them? How could you, what, don't you know that they're into this? Oh, don't you know that they've done that? And they will always begin to talk to you about how you shouldn't reach out. And Jesus said, "No, I don't have a problem with what people think. My only thing about what people think is what God thinks, what God wants to do." Now look at verse 8. "But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount.' Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.'" Now, final thing I want you to see here is the response that Zac has is a radical response. It's not kind of a nice patty cake, kumbaya, let's hold hands and be in a circle and smile and feel good response. This is a response that radically transforms his life, where he says, no, there's something, this encounter with Jesus, it is fundamentally changed who I am inside. And he takes the very thing that has defined him, right? All of his adult career life, this career of being a tax collector has defined him. Money, he's got it. He's known as the guy who deals with money. He knows as a guy who has political influence and power. And he takes the very thing that has sort of characterized who he is, and he says, "No, listen, I am so radically transformed in my understanding of what I'm about, I'm going to turn around, I'm going to give half of what I have away. And if I've defrauded anyone," and you can bet that he had defrauded more than one person because that's the way the system worked, "if I've defrauded anyone, I'm going to repay them up to four times the amount." Now that is heart transformation, right? That's somebody that has met with Jesus and said, "No, isn't that, that's just, you know, fire insurance to keep me out of the flames of hell." No, that's not that. This is like, my life is changed forever, and I'm so serious about it that the overflow of my response is one that just says, "Lord, whatever I have, I'm giving it back, because it's not mine anymore. Now I understand, my whole perception has changed, my whole understanding of what I'm about has changed. I'm not going to be defined by the stuff anymore." And I don't know what it is that defines your life, or what it is that you're stuck on, or that has kept you from sort of getting serious about your relationship with him. But when we come and meet with Christ, we have got to allow a radical response to come out of our heart. Not one that just sort of begrudgingly says, "Oh yeah, well, if, you know, when they pass the offering plate, I got to put a little money in," or, you know, "when they ask me to serve, all right, I'll do it. It's my obligation because I'm part of a club." No. We're not a social club here. Like, the church is not a social club. It's not Toastmasters. This is about heart transformation. Like, the message of the cross has the power to transform the hearts of men and women in the world. And when we come encounter that kind of Jesus, then we cannot walk away the same. We have got to say, "Lord, all that I have, whether it's money or whether it's relationships or stuff or whatever it is that I'm connected with, Lord, it's yours. It's yours." Why? Because my life is now no longer about me. It's about you. And during this season, when we're talking about unexpected, my challenge for you, our challenge is that we would seek to have this kind of experience of Jesus, that we wouldn't sort of just sit back and be content with the routine and the tradition. As good as those things are, as good as it is to do those things, there's something deeper here that we can experience in those unexpected moments, in maybe the messes that you've got in your life. in the situations that are difficult, that actually God wants to show up there in that place, and he wants to meet with you. The question is, do we want to meet with him? Are we willing to sort of get out of that place of comfort? Are we willing to risk looking foolish and to climb a tree so that actually Jesus will meet with us? The truth is, he will. He will meet with us. He will meet with you. Jesus wants to meet with you. He wants to meet with each of us. There's no one here that has gone too far or is too far away or anything else that he can't meet with. He desires to pass by you right now, and maybe even in this moment that he's talking to you about some way that you need to, something you need to give up, some way you need to change or adjust, some way that you need to express your hunger, something that you need to get serious about so that you would get serious about him, so that we would actually become the kind of people that God desires his church to be. Look in your bulletin. Let me just end with this verse at the top there, Romans 8:19. This is what Jesus is looking for from us, from Koinonia, from his church. This is the kind of people that we are called to be and can be by his grace and power. Romans 8:19, for all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Listen, God is looking for you to be a revelation of him on the earth, right? Koinonia can be his children here on the earth, expressing his love, loving beyond what they should love like, forgiving beyond what is reasonable to forgive, giving beyond what is normal to give. And we look, and when you look at those kind of people, you go, man, God is at work there in that situation. And if you want to see a different Christmas, let me just challenge you, be unexpected this Christmas. Be a little bit more caring to your family. Be a little bit more forgiving. Give beyond what is normal. I'm not just talking about the gift stuff, right? I'm not talking about buy more stuff that you give away. I'm talking about giving of yourself, giving of love. And then God will show up in the most unexpected places, even at your dinner table, right? Even with that uncle or aunt or the other one that you're like, oh my gosh. That's where he wants to work. Would you stand with me this morning? And as we close today, I just want to pray with you, and if you would just bow your head. I just want to pray for two groups this morning. Really, it's an invitation this morning to step out in faith. And you're here today, and maybe you're here because a family member invited you, or maybe you're here because, you know, somehow you just wandered in, you're feeling like I need to do something different, I need to get right, but you know that you're not right with Christ. When you look at that story of Zacchaeus and Zac is climbing up in the tree, that's you this morning. You're going, yeah, you know what, I want to see Jesus, but I don't know him. I don't have a relationship with him. Like, he hasn't yet stopped and had dinner with me. Today he wants to have dinner with you. If you just bow your head, and if that's your situation this morning, and you've never said to Jesus, Jesus, listen, I want to give my heart, my life, myself to you. Like, it's not just a nice idea, but I actually want to be transformed in my heart, because when I look in there, it's been about me and it's not been pretty, and I need you to come in and meet with me. And if that's you today, I just want to pray with you. Just very quickly, just raise your hand between you, me, and the Lord that you're saying, yes, that's me. Today I'm making a decision. I see that hand, yes, I see that hand, yes. Decision for Christ, and this is the day when I'm marking a line in the sand, see hands all over, that, Lord, would you come and meet with me? Lord, for every hand that's raised, I thank you, God, that you not only pass by, but you stop, and that you call out to us, and you invite us to your table. And so, Lord, for every hand that's raised this morning, we are saying to you, Jesus, would you come into my heart? Would you change me? And right where you're at, just say that prayer. Would you change me, Lord? I invite you in to my table, that I would be different because I've encountered you. I've done it on my own, and it hasn't worked, Lord. And I'm reaching out to you today, that you would come and that you would meet with me in the name. name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. The beautiful thing about that moment of raising your hand is that it's a line that has been crossed where Jesus says, I've welcomed you in, and now you are my son. Now you are my daughter, and there's a new day. One more group I want to pray for, if you just bow your heads very, very quickly. You've heard the Lord today say you need to step out. You've heard the Lord today say you need to get beyond the crowd. You need to change something in your life and your expectation. And that's just between you. And you want to say, Lord, yes, I'm hearing you today. And I'm going to step out. Just raise your hand as an indication to him that that's me. I'm going to do that. Lord, for those hands that are raised this morning, Lord, my hands included in them. God, I want to be different as I meet with you. I want to meet you in a deeper way. Lord, I'm not content with just doing things the way they have been done before. I want to go to a deeper level with you, God. I want my life to be characterized by an experience with you daily, that my family would reflect your life, God, that my heart would be transformed by your love, that it wouldn't just be me living anymore, but that your love and your caring and your concern and your forgiveness, that they would flow out of me. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus. The church said,